Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Games, a new book about games. Historical, accurate, and at the same time challenging games. Played by humans and now by artificial intelligence. The book is entitled Seven Games, A Human History. Oliver Rader is the author. He is a former staff writer at 538, editor of the column The Riddler and the book The Riddler. Now we speak of Oliver the Poker Player. It is 2019, before the pandemic, and our hero is walking through the doors of a chamber built for the World Championship poker game. This poker game takes place in a variety of games. We're going to play one particular kind. Oliver's going to take us to that game. But poker is also a game that you can apply game theory to, the history of poker, how it's played now, and how computers can enter into examining poker games and making the world's best players even better. Oliver, a very good evening to you. Your book is fun, and it's good to have fun about a game that I played as a young person, haven't played since, where there was all kinds of rites of passage. You know, the upperclassmen were cool and drinking their beer, whereas newbies would arrive at the table and they'd want to make sure we were good for the $35 we were saying we wanted chips for. However, you take us into a world championship played in a space that necessarily is dramatic. What was the game in 2019? And you were at table 120. What was the challenge of your game of poker that day? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this was the World Series of Poker, and the tournament that I had entered was in a form of poker called No Limit Texas Hold'em, which is what I played growing up, and these days is the most popular variant among many popular variants. And the beauty of the World Series of Poker for someone like me, an amateur and a reporter, is that it's essentially a democratic enterprise. If you show up and you hand over your money, you get a seat at the most elite poker tournament in the world. And I took great care when I was reporting my book to play, exhaustively play the games I was writing about so that I could learn about them and sort of have their, have the aroma of them in my nose. So I made it to Vegas, as a very mediocre poker player, but I managed to last, about a day and a half in this tournament, a tournament that would end up taking 3 days to complete. And, you know, my tasks, the challenges of poker are manifold. Poker has famously hidden information. You don't know what cards your opponents hold. Poker requires calculation of probabilities. Poker requires certain types of deception, misleading your opponents into making mistakes and so on. And to sort of prepare to play in the World Series, I sort of took a twofold approach. One, I read, you know, books by expert human players. And two, I played against and studied the computer, which these days is kind of a must for top poker players. And the computer nowadays teaches lessons just like the humans have. And indeed, in the hallways of the Rio Casino, where this tournament was taking place, people often asked each other, well, what does the solver say? And a solver is a poker playing program that people will compare their own play against. And of course, you can't use this while you're at the table, but people will consult the computer and sort of it's the ultimate judge of play in almost every game I write about.
This is a game of randomness and imperfect information, I read from Oliver. However, the surprising thing was the artificial intelligence, aka computers, have recently come to solving this, or at least improving human games by providing these alternatives. I believe it begins with Polaris in the 21st century. This is all 21st century development. Then we go to a program in 2015 called Cepheus, then 2017 Libratus. And today we have something even more exotic to play against. In your particular game, the game you were playing, these computers, why was it so late in development? We're also going to speak of chess, which was famously conquered by computers back in the old 20th century.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So some of this is reflected in the way I order the chapters in the book. So there's seven games is the title, and there are seven chapters, each devoted to a game. And as you sort of progress through the book, you're adding, roughly speaking, adding a feature. So as you move from something like checkers to chess, you're adding a lot of complication and mathematical depth. As you move from, say, chess to backgammon, you're adding randomness. As you move from backgammon to poker, you're adding hidden information, and so on. So poker had a lot of these features that made it difficult for computers and their computer scientists to grapple with. And put another way, poker was sort of more like the real world. The real world has randomness. The real world has hidden information, and so on. And computer scientists' ultimate goal is not to beat the game per se, but to sort of train systems on games so that they, these systems can operate in the real world in a quote unquote intelligent way. So because of its many interesting mathematical and structural features, poker, indeed, as you say, was sort of a final frontier for computer science and artificial intelligence. And indeed, in the form I was playing, which is No Limit Texas Hold'em with a full table of eight or nine human players, computers only conquered that game quite literally while I was at the World Series of Poker. That week, the announcement was made that this team had finally sort of cracked it. So yeah, these lists, colorfully named programs that you mentioned, sort of were ticking off the individual varieties of poker one by one. So starting with, say, limit hold'em, where bet size are fixed, and heads up limit, where there's only two players, then adding no limit, where you can bet any amount, then adding a full table of lots of players, and so on. And essentially that project is now complete. There are sort of computers that are demonstrably better than even the best humans at sort of any form of poker you could imagine.
There are two players that are featured in this chapter about poker. These are humans. Doyle Branson, who's the very good, and a player called Kid Poker, who's very good. And what I learn is what computers don't have is a personality for you to study. And you analyze Doyle Branson's game with Kid Poker, showing that what Doyle Branson did had resonance for something that happened before. He'd been a big loser. And so he was moved to make a big bet. At the same time, Kid Poker had a reputation for hero calls, meaning he would call somebody with a big pile of, let's see what you got. Does a computer know that? Can you program that into a computer, the history of this player?
Yeah, that's a great question. This sort of matchup between these two players, I include to sort of highlight the difference between the sort of quote unquote old school poker and the sort of new school and the sort of computer driven game. And the old school, sort of embodied in the character of Doyle Brunson, had everything to do with exploitation. So reading your opponent's tells, their facial tics and so on, and sort of making aggressive bets to intimidate opponents that you sort of view as being weak and so on. It was all about exploiting the other players at your table for your advantage. But these days, the sort of modern game is more about being unexploitable yourself. So playing in such a way that no matter what your opponents at the table are doing, you are unexploitable. And eventually they'll make some mistakes and you'll profit. So the answer to your question is the computers don't really need to know that. It sort of doesn't really matter what a computer's opponents are doing, because a computer is playing in this unexploitable so-called game theory optimal way. And game theory optimal, or GTO, is sort of the shorthand for this new way of playing. And indeed, many, as I write in the poker chapter, many, if not all, top poker professionals not only use the programs, but employ computer scientists to sort of, and programmers to tweak these programs, analyze their games, make sure that they are completely unexploitable. And once you have this sort of these weapons, GTO, computer-driven weapons at your disposal, you sort of free to ignore the other players at your table and just sort of play your game.
The book is Seven Games, A Human History by Oliver Rader. We're going to turn to the games that I learned as a young person that were meant to be sociable, but they also have their addictive qualities, bridge and Scrabble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf, thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.